Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome to Buckets in the 503 from KBPS Studios at Benson High School. Today, we're going to talk about the 5A Boys Basketball State Championship from 2024-25. We'll also bring to you a special guest, Sean Kelly, to talk about LaSalle Prep's special run and go over the transfers that have happened in 5A and 6A. And my co-host today, Curtis Williams.
Let's go. Got a second episode. Been having great feedback from the first episode. Bear with us. We'll get better as we go. But I'm looking forward to this today's episode with Sean Kelly covering 5A's last year tournament run and then the exciting topic of the transfer portal that everybody's been talking about for the past 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. So just to review last year's 5A teams that made it to Linfield University, starting out with Thurston High School. Curtis, can you give us a review of Thurston?
Thurston came in as a 2 seed. They were knocked off in the quarterfinals by Summit, led by Noah Blair, Grady Saunders, and Lucas LeBoundy. You still got Lucas coming back. I actually saw Lucas play at one of Portland State's workouts a couple of days ago. Talented kid. So they'll still be in the mix this year, but that was their roster last year. Led them to a 2 seed before they got knocked off by Summit.
Yeah, and Thurston's losing 5 seniors going into this 25-26 season, and they were knocked off by Summit.
Summit, historically, the past 3, 4, 5 years, been one of the most dominant programs in the state of Oregon. At the 6A, they were 6A, and they moved to 5A. They were actually the reigning champions from the year before. They came in as a 7 seed, knocked off Thurston, led by Kai Scally, Ryder Grebe, and Will Manfredi. They were all seniors, real senior-heavy led team, but I'm expecting to be back in the mix next year because they're a pretty good, solid program. They usually make their guys work up through the ranks, and so I definitely expect them to still be a top 10 team next year.
Yeah, they do a real good job of reloading every year. Even though half their team was seniors, they lost 6 of them, but we still expect them to be in the mix.
As a 7 seed, last year, made the state championship game and lost by 1. So they were right there. I mean, the year before they won at the buzzer, and then the year before that, I think they lost by like 2. So they've been one possession last 3 years for being 3-time state championships in a row.
Yeah, that three-peat is really hard. And then we had Canby, who beat Crescent Valley in that first round. They're looking to return some really good players. Jackson Lawson is looking like an MVP candidate going into his 5A season. Curtis, talk a little bit about Canby.
Canby, nice run. They actually, in the semifinals, had the game won and then ended up losing. I think you watched that game they won. Maybe talk a little bit about that. But they were this close to actually playing in the state championship game. They ended up finishing 5th in state, lost a 3rd-place game. But they have the majority of their team coming back. Jackson Lawson last year was a first-team All-State guy. Also was co-player of the year with Cole Hammock. He's coming back. Then you got Jack Brockmiller, 3-sport athlete, basketball, baseball, and football. He's definitely a load inside. Another guy they had was Cohen Vandercovering. But this is a deep program. There's a couple other guys I've seen around playing in the AAU circles. So that program is pretty deep. They're young. They had a lot of sophomores. I think about four or five sophomores that were on the varsity roster last year and four or five juniors. So you could arguably one of the favorites to win state next year. I mean, that's why one of the reasons they were invited to the Les Schwab. So, I mean, definitely look for Camby next year. They're definitely one of the favorites to win state next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, there were four TC, but they're only losing four seniors. So, and a lot of their leaders will be back next season. Crescent Valley, who was the number six seed last year going into it, who had a tough go of it once they got to Linfield. Talk a little bit about Crescent Valley.
Crescent Valley, they were led last year by Jackson Bloom and Truman Brosfield. So they had a good year, sixth seed, and then just came up short for opening round. I mean, traveling out here to play in Linfield, ended up losing by like 20, but then they bounced back and lost by one to a tough Thurston team in the consolation round. But they're definitely senior led last year, so not sure what they got coming in behind them, but they had definitely had a great year last year.
Yeah, so, they're losing half their roster as well. Six seniors graduated, went on their way, but they had a heck of a season. We also have Wilsonville, who played West Albany in that first round, ended up winning, being the third place team in 5A as the fourth ranked team. Curtis, talk a little bit about Wilsonville.
Wilsonville. Kind of got on some of these guys. A couple of these guys played AU for me, Cole Hammack and Drake Devin. So they definitely were one of the favorites coming in last year. A lot of people had them winning it all. They got upset by LaSalle in the semifinals. But Cole Hammack had a dynamic year. He transferred from North Marion and ended up becoming 5A player of the year last year. So he came from North Marion 4A to 5A and was player of the year. Even had a 49-point game. Half-court buzzer beater. I mean, unbelievable year headed to Eastern Oregon. They also had Drake Devin, who was also another transfer. He came from Hermiston, 6'4 guard. He's also going to Eastern Oregon with Cole. They also had Jacob Boss. Jacob Boss is pretty good, senior, 6'4 guy. And they also had Jet Bruce. Jet Bruce is another guard, but he's actually going to be coming back. So, I mean, Wilsonville's, I could say, one of the most, regardless of class, one of the most dominant basketball programs in state. I mean, they've been either in the winning state or in the state championship. I mean, them getting to the semifinals is a down year for them. And so they're reloading, so they'll be good next year. I also had a freshman last year who's going to be a sophomore, Michael Ratcliffe, 6'9", D1 potential. So, I mean, I definitely look forward to seeing Wilsonville come back next year strong.
Yeah, Rocho does a really good job in keeping that program nice and strong. Really feels like they should be a 6A team with their enrollment that they have over there. But they do a heck of a job at that 5A level and stay strong over there. Next up, we have West Albany. They won the consolation side of the bracket last year. Curtis, talk a little bit about West Albany in that 5 seed.
West Albany's a tough team, and a lot of people were telling me they had a chance to win it last year. They were led by a guard, Gavin Aguilar. I actually saw him playing at a local AU tournament last year, tough shooter. He was one of their senior leaders. They had a guy named Jonah LaSalle and Owen Hopkins, also some senior leaders. They have another guy coming back that I actually saw at Portland State a couple of days ago, Tyson Walker. 6'3", 6'4", gritty guy, can score from different levels on the court. So he'll definitely be leading them this year. And so they'll be in the mix. They'll have a great team this year. I can see them being a top 10 team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely were a 5 seed coming in. And I mean, as you can see, they won consolation, so they finished fourth in the state last year.
Yeah, finishing fourth in state and only losing three seniors says that they should have a pretty good run coming back this year. I know those guys will be hungry for a little bit more after getting to that winning that consolation last year. Another team that had a tough go of it when they got down to Linfield. They were the number one ranked team going into it and then just kind of laid an egg when they got down there. Talk a little bit about Caldera.
Caldera, the number one RPI ranked team. Sometimes the computer rankings can not all be 100% accurate, but they were led by Will Jensen. Will Jensen, 6'9", senior from last year. He actually is walking on to Idaho. I saw him play a few times. Long, athletic kid. Definitely has a chance to play at the collegiate level. But he started off his collegiate career as a walk-on to Idaho. So that'll be a huge loss for them. Yeah, I think he was definitely an All-State guy. But they also lost Jack Bentz and Aiden Cruz, also seniors. And so, I mean, we'll see what they do next year. I mean, Caldera, they still had a couple of juniors, a couple of sophomores, but they lost the majority of their talent. So we'll see what happens next year, how far they bounce back.
Yeah, another team that lost six seniors. You know, the state was really senior heavy last year. And so, you know, a lot of good seniors leaving, going and playing college basketball next year. You know, we'll look forward to following their progress as they go on to compete at the next level. But then we had Caldera, who lost to the eventual champions, the 9-seed LaSalle Prep, who had just a magical season. You know, it's not too many times you see a 9-seed go off and win the state championship. But they were blessed with some good fortune and some big time wins. Talk about LaSalle a little bit, Curtis.
First, the fact that the championship game was a 9-seed versus 7-seed, it shows you the depth that 5A had last year. Coach Kelly will talk about LaSalle a little bit later on, more in depth, but you had Aiden Kelly, Coach Kelly's son, played a huge role. Didn't always show up in points, but was probably one of the key leaders, rebounding and doing all the little things. Then you had Vance Sheffield, a D1 soccer player, going to Northern Illinois. Then you had Paul Scoro, another leader for the team. Then you had my guy Riggy. I'm real familiar with Riggy. Played AU with me the last couple of years. He's a first team All-State guy. I think he led the 5A in scoring last year. I mean, Riggy's a guy who can put up 30 on anybody. I've seen him do it. I mean, we've played multiple teams over the course of the spring and summer where they had multiple D1 players and he scored 35 on them. You know, so they just had a magical run. Went from a 9-seed, and I remember seeing an article where they asked all the writers and people who they picked to win state, and LaSalle was the one team that nobody picked to win state. And so they went on a run. I mean, Sean Kelly must be an amazing coach. I mean, I actually got to see them play a lot last year. I went to a couple of their games when they played Centennial, and I saw the game when they played Wilsonville. And so, so we'll get into it. But, magical run, and I think 5A is deep, as good as it was last year. That's going to tie into the rest of our episode when we interview Coach Kelly and talk about the transfer portal and maybe even deeper next year.
Absolutely. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Sean Kelly, the current 5A championship coach for LaSalle. He's going into his sixth year at LaSalle. He's had 14 years of experience at U of P, before that at Concordia. Welcome, Sean Kelly.
Thanks for having me, guys. So appreciate it.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for joining us today. Congrats again on being a state champion. Let's dive into your seasons, get some perspective on some Oregon high school hoops. So for you, what do you think the biggest factor is in building and sustaining a championship culture at your school?
You know, the one thing about LaSalle is all of my
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Players play multiple sports. I had two kids that did not play multiple sports, and that was Riggy and then my son Aiden. And so, you had Vance Sheffield and you had Paul Scorro, you had Mason Mueller come in from successful other seasons. So Vance was the Gatorade Player of the Year in soccer, and then Paul was first-team all-quarterback, and Mason was first-team all-defensive back. So these guys were just used to winning. And when they've had success in other sports, I like to tie that in and why they were successful on the fields and what that is going to do to the court. And then my job was just really to get Riggy and Aiden meshed with those guys and then try to get three or four guys off the bench that could come in and fill roles that we really needed. So a big thing about LaSalle is just trying to connect those seasons and how we can utilize everybody's strengths from the sport that they were playing to basketball.
That's key points. I mean, typically in the history of Oregon, usually the team that wins state championship always has a couple football players. Now, the exception the last 2 years with Barlow and Central Catholic, but other than that, usually the team always has players that play other sports. And I know that's a hot topic, especially in the city. A lot of time coaches don't want their players playing other sports, and you got coaches bickering about kids playing football and basketball and baseball. But that's a key point.
Yeah, so looking back at the past season, like, what moments stick out to you the most on your road to the championship?
Well, one big one was when we went over to Bend for Christmas tournament, and we had to play Sheldon, and Sheldon was really good. Sheldon had guys that could score, they had athletes, and they ran through their conference. They didn't lose a game in conference, and we lost the first game to Crook County, and we just did not play very well. And then we came back and beat Forest Grove. But then we had to play Sheldon, and I just liked the way they played, and I knew they were a tough team. And we won that game in overtime, and that was the first moment where I thought that we could be good. And then as the year went on, two games really stick out. We had a game at home versus Camby, which we won at the buzzer. And that was Jack Brockmiller's first game back. So they were still a little rusty with him, but he played exceptionally well. And then we just pulled it out. We ran an out-of-bounds play that was actually designed for Riggy, and we had to change it a little bit. And Paul made a great read and hit Aiden, and Aiden made the layup. And so that was a huge game to give us confidence against a team that we thought was really peaking at the moment. And then we had to go to Centennial, and Centennial was playing amazingly. They should have beat Wilsonville. That was a crazy call at the end. And then they came into our game thinking that they should really just beat us bad. And we're down 20. And then the second half, Vance Sheffield made like four or five threes, and Riggy made like four or five plays, and we ended up winning again. I think it's like 2 or 4 points, but those two games against two teams that I thought were peaking at the end and going to be really good in the playoffs. So those are the three moments that step out, though: beating Sheldon, because I thought they were such a good team, and then beating Camby, and then beating Centennial. I thought those were the three key moments. And I liked our draw against Caldera. We went over Bend and we watched them play three times because I thought in the end we might have matched up with them somewhere. And I liked their team, but I also thought that we could match up pretty well and do some things to hurt them. And in the first round of the state tournament, that's what we did.
I actually was at that Centennial LaSalle game. I know Coach Demetrius at Centennial says I'm bad luck. Every time I show up to a game, his team loses. but yeah, you guys start off the game down 20. I mean, they were cooking you guys, and then you guys ended up going on a run, made some adjustments. Just ended up coming through, winning the game. Another question for you. So, as we know, there's been a lot of trend. There's a trending topic going right now between 6A guys transferring to 5A schools. What do you think about that, and how has that affected your guys' league?
Well, one thing, you know, when you're a college basketball coach for so long, I always talk about one word, and it's opportunity. And I think if kids are putting themselves in a position to have a good opportunity to do what they want to do next in life, or, you know, even at the present moment, then I think you got to do it. for multiple reasons, right? It could be family reasons, could be academic reasons, could be basketball, could be athletic. But if the kids are going to put themselves in a opportunity where they can thrive and be successful, then I'm all for it. Because in the end, that's what it's about. You want to help kids get to where they want to go, whatever level that is, whatever it looks like. So there have been a lot of transfers, and it's made our league amazing. I mean, and in the end, I might not like it because some of these teams might beat us, but you know what? I'm excited for the league. I'm excited for the coaches. You know, when you look at our league in 5A, the Northwest Conference, I think it's going to be one of the best leagues in the state, any classification. I mean, you know, you start with Wilsonville, who, like you mentioned, played in the last 13 state championship games before this year. I mean, that's unbelievable, you know. And then you have a team like Park Rose, who maybe, you know, has the most transfers. Well, my first year, Donnell had it going on. Like, we lost there, and I thought it was a great team. So Park Rose has had some good teams in the past, and this might just be the best one that they've ever had with some of these transfers coming in, with Fuzzy and Carter from Ida B. Wells. And so it's going to change the dynamic. But then even Canby and Wilsonville are going to be loaded in. Wilsonville got a transfer from Centennial, the AZ kid who's really tough. He had 35 on us that game, and he's going to be good, you know. And Camby's just solid, like Jackson Lawson and Brock Miller and Twitchell, and they just have guys that just know how to play. But what I really like about our league the most is these guys can coach. I mean, I've been really impressed with Matt Taylor at Camby, Chris Roach, you know, and Demetrius at Centennial. Like, it's a great coaching league, and I think one that gets downplayed a little bit in our state sometimes. I think there are some really good high school coaches that do a great job, and now you're going to see, you know, with all these transfers, I mean, I think it's going to really elevate their coaching as well.
Yeah, I made that key point to a couple of kids that I know that are going to Park Rose. I said, man, it's not like 6A basketball, especially PIO. I mean, PIO is more of a free-flowing style. Sometimes people can get numbers. I always joke around with Naewon about that. But the 5A, I mean, you could argue they probably have the best coaches. If you go by the class, I'd say the 5A has the best coaching staffs and coaches in the 5A class. I mean, they're not going to let a kid just go score 30 and without even game planning. They run a million plays, sets. So, I mean, a lot of times they manipulate the game kind of like the college style. And so, I mean, then you got coaches that have coached in college before, you know?
Yep.
And so it's an obvious, I mean, like you see last year, the teams with the most talent, I mean, nobody's going to say LaSalle had the most talent last year or Summit, and they were in the state championship game, you know? So just because you have the most talent doesn't mean you're a shoe-in to automatically win state at the five, or any level, but especially the 5A level.
Correct. You know, and I think the difference, one of the things is the areas that the 5A schools come from, right? Like, yeah, Bend and all those schools went 5A and they're trying to figure themselves out. Well, those must be like bloodbath rivalries, right? Like, they have to play each other. They're playing on the same club teams. They're playing other sports together. They live close to each other. I mean, Bend is not that big of an area for all those amazing schools and talent. And then, I mean, you have us, you know, which, and Park Rose and Wilsonville, who primarily play 6A schools. You know, now you have Centennial and Canby that are playing a ton of 6A schools, you know, to challenge themselves. And so even though we're 5A, we're really close, like you say, to all of the 6As in proximity. And these are all their friends, and they don't want to look bad in front of their friends. They want to play hard and get after it.
No, absolutely. You know, Centennial's coming to Southers this year to our tournament to play against some 6A competition. And, you know, I've had a chance to coach Darius over there and some of those other kids. And so we look forward to that little rivalry going back and forth. It's always fun to see those kids. And, you know, you always want them to do good, but just, you know, you don't want, you know, you still want to win the game. So,
yeah,
it's a fun competitive atmosphere. So do you see this more as an opportunity or of a challenge with all the transfers coming in?
to the conference?
You know, it's going to be a big challenge for us. I mean, with all the kids we lost, and I got to give a shout out because Vance Sheffield scored his first college goal for NIU, and he's doing amazing as a freshman in college playing soccer. So I wanted to, I told him I'd give him a little shout out for making it happen. But it's going to be a challenge. And the nice part about it is we swung four sophomores last year, and I think they're really excited about the opportunity. And then we had three seniors. This year, they're seniors this year. They didn't get to play as much as they wanted to and maybe as they deserved. But my seniors last year were just playing so well that, I mean, I couldn't play that many people. So I see it as a challenge. I see it as a big opportunity. LaSalle, we're going to have to play defense, and we're going to have to stop people, and we're going to have to try to be even on the boards, because rebounding might be the one thing where teams are going to try to attack us. And so we just got to make sure that people's best shot is not their second shot.
Right. So let's dive into some of these transfers that happened in the 5A level. You know, we all know that Park Rose, led by Kendrick Williams, the head coach over there, has a ton of transfers that went over there. They're looking like the new powerhouse in the 5A. I know they all feel like it. Probably the best player that they got over there is Fuzzy, coming from Roosevelt, who had, you know, first team all PAL honors, averaged basically 16 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals a game, and now taking his talents to Park Rose. Talk a little bit about him and what you've seen him over the years.
You know, I've been pretty lucky to watch him play for a couple of club teams in the summer. And, you know, he's just so fast. He's fast. He's quick and get to his spots and create his own shot. But he also plays under control, and he's a really good leader. Like, I saw him play 2 games this summer, at the UP, team camp. And that's probably what impressed me the most.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Is like, I knew he was quick. I knew he could get to his spots, but when he got to his spots, his decision-making was really solid. And for a kid that could really get anywhere he wants on the court, to have the patience and the presence to make the right play was really, that was pretty dynamic in my estimation.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuzzy's probably one of the best leaders in the whole state. You know, just a great kid, great personality, you know, a great mentor to the younger kids. He's always working with them. So I have nothing but good things to say about Fuzzy. Probably, you know, that's probably the gift and the curse, right? Because he is probably a little bit too nice at times. But he is a great kid. You can't say enough about him. And then we have the other kids that transferred over to Park Rose, 3 all leaving Grant and going over to Park Rose, Keon James, Varick Hargis, and Keon Gates. Curtis, you want to talk a little bit about those 3 players coming from Grant over to Park Rose?
Yeah, with me being coaching at Benson, being in the PIL, usually we're the league that's getting transfers. And everybody, the state's getting on us, and this is the time around where our league got hit by transfers. And so at first we had Fuzzy leaving Roosevelt to go to Park Rose. Also had Sirius Owens leaving Roosevelt to go to Clackamas. And you also had Jamil Baker leaving Roosevelt to go to Centennial, all from Roosevelt. And also another kid named Augie, underrated guard. He's also leaving Roosevelt to go to Clackamas. So Roosevelt got hit hard. I mean, so sometimes you're the team bringing in transfers and sometimes you're the team losing transfers. That's kind of how it goes. I mean, you live by the gun, die by the gun. You know, it just happens sometimes. But to get back on the topic, we'll go more in depth of those kids later on. But to get back on the topic of Park Rose, you got the three great kids. You got Keon James. I know him pretty well. He played AU with me. Been seeing him since 6th, 7th grade. He's transferring to Park Rose. From the outside looking in, may not look like a basketball player, but he's one of those guys that plays winning basketball, tough, gritty. One of those guys you don't want to play against, but love to have him on your team. Then you got Keon Gates, dynamic player, 2027 kid, was also first team PIO last year. So he was actually, it wasn't even close. I mean, the way they do the voting in the PIO, they rank the kids and on the first team, and we had six guys that made first team. The first guy was 0-8 in PIO Player of the Year. He graduated, obviously, but the number two and number three guys in votes were Fuzzy and Keon Gates. And so Keon Gates, as long as he stays focused and on track, he's going to be a tough guy to guard. And then you got Varick Hargis. If you look at Varick, especially in the layup line, I mean, Varick looks the part, could do a lot of things, defend, shoot, athletic, and dunk. He's just one of those guys people are going to sleep on. Been knowing him and his dad for a little while. So that's definitely a key piece for a lot of teams. So it's not like you just guard one or two guys. So with them, it's just going to be all about sacrificing and playing team ball as far as those guys meshing together.
Yeah, with, you're bringing over Fuzzy, who averaged 16, Keon Gates, who averaged 13, Varick, who had 10, and Keon James, who averaged 7. The biggest question is, can Kendrick get all those guys to mesh and share the rock versus just trying to get their own? It's a good problem to have for him. I think a lot of us would love to have that problem. We haven't even begun to talk about Muhammad Carter, who has transferred over there, the 6'8 prodigy. He's probably one of the most raw, athletic, gifted kids in the state. Talk a little bit about him and what you've seen from him.
I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. And when I went to watch their first game, at the UP camp, and I think the first play I saw was him coming down the middle and just like throwing it down on someone. And I'm like, oh boy, he might be a problem. And for his size, he's athletic. And he does a really nice job rebounding. And then he runs the floor well. I mean, if he's going to run the floor and try to beat other posts down, then he's going to be a problem. That's a really could be a skill. And it's a skill we taught at the Division I, Division II level. Is like, if we have a post that can outrun people, we're starting our offense with a plus. And he can do that. So, but that was a really good move and really athletic move, and I was pretty impressed, and so I hadn't seen him play for a couple of years, and so he's going to be fun to try and stop.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about another team, Centennial, who added one and lost one. They added Jamel Baker, who 6'3" wing, who's really long and lanky. Played for Roosevelt last year, and he decided to go over Centennial. And then they lost one in AZ, who went over to Wilsonville. AZ was pretty tough, averaged 14.5 points per game, 4 rebounds. They say 6'5", it looks like he might have grown a little bit over the summer, which is always a scary thing to see considering how big Wilsonville is. Curtis, talk a little bit about those two.
They actually added a couple more pieces. I'll get into that in a second. But AZ, I remember seeing him the first game they played at Wilsonville. He had 1 point. And his dad was like, and then, of course, the Oregon Prep Hoops rankings came out like a couple of days later. And so I only saw him play the one game where he had 1 point. I could judge him off of that. And then the next to go around when they played Wilsonville, he had like 35. And this guy's 6'6", 6'7", probably like a 6'9 wingspan, could shoot the three. Athletic. Now he's in the hands of Roach. I mean, I'm curious to see how that works out. We played them in summer league, but he actually got hurt, so we didn't get a chance to play against them. But even without him, they have a 6'9" guy, a 6'7". I mean, they're probably the biggest team in the state, regardless of class. I mean, AZ's 6'6", 6'7". He might be playing the 2 or the 3 for them. And so, I mean, the ceiling's high for him. Even at Centennial last year, his first year there, he got first team all league in that league last year. And so he has a high ceiling, man. His college level, I mean, we don't know where he's going to end up, but based on his work ethic, he can end up anywhere, you know, D1, D2, just depending on how hard he keeps working.
Yeah.
But they also added another kid. They added a kid named Dakari, underrated kid, incoming sophomore. I think he's 6'9 already. Athletic, has a real good chance. He came from Rex Putnam. And then they also added a kid coming from overseas. I don't know what Demetrius got going on right now, but this kid named Sebastian Larsen. Kid's coming from Denmark. He'll be there, 6'10". And so kind of Centennial's in a similar situation to Park Rose. They already had a lot of key pieces coming back, and then now you're adding a few more pieces, so it's just a matter of finding your rotation. I mean, because typically especially when you get to state and things like that, typically you can only play 6, 7, maybe 8 guys at most when you're playing in these big games. So how you balance it all and keep people happy and keep the chemistry going is going to be a huge component, you know, and especially at Park Rose, you know, you got a first year coach, and a lot of times, you know, high school and AU is 2 different things. You know, high school basketball, AU basketball is 2 different things, man. I mean, high school, if you go to AU game, nobody's crying. Our head coach at Benson always says this, nobody's crying after AU games, you know, but in the high school season, every season, when you get to the locker room,
yeah,
somebody's always in tears. You know, I'm not a big crier, but you see it every year. You know, if you got a senior on the team, especially if you got seniors, you know, because they put more time into it. You're going to school 9, 10 months out the year. You're practicing weeks before you play a game. You're only playing 1 or 2 games a week as opposed to playing 5, 6 games in a weekend. There's nobody really scouting that much, not to the level they do in high school as they do at AAU. So it's really 2 different sports, honestly. I mean, AAU basketball and high school basketball are literally 2 different sports. And so coming from AAU to high school can help you because you're used to, you know, getting kids and stuff like that. But how you adjust and who's on your bench and your staff to help you. This is not for Park Rose. This is just in general. Sometimes I see, like especially last year, I see a lot of brand new head coaches, and they come and their whole staff is brand new. You know, I mean, if I'm a brand new coach, I want a veteran coach or a former head coach on my staff to help me that's already been in those type of situations. But sometimes you see brand new coaches, they hire brand new assistant coaches. We ain't never been assistant coaches, you know? So it's just 2 different sports. I don't think people would overrate that part, man. Experience is really big when it comes to coaching.
No,
at the high school level.
Yeah, absolutely. And luckily for Park Rose, you know, Kendrick's had a lot of time playing, being a head coach on the AAU side and over at Rosemary Anderson. And I know he brings over a lot of that staff over there. So they have some good experience and should be a tough team to deal with going forward. A couple other transfers that happened. We had the Reed brothers, Ty and Luke, who decided to take their talents to Hawaii. They're leaving Churchill and headed over there to Idaho. We wish them luck leaving the Oregon basketball scene.
Idaho Select strikes again. Idaho Select. Be careful if you're a high school coach in Oregon, man. You send your kid to Idaho Select, they might be transferring the next year, man. I'm feeling you.
Hey,
feeling you.
Idaho Select does a great job in that program.
They want sudden plays for Idaho Select, just to let you guys know that.
They do a great job. Coaches over there are outstanding. Very professional program over there. So shout out to the Reed brothers. We wish them well over there at Hawaii. And also another transfer, Kai Holmes. Coming up from 4A, going over to Sheldon last year for Marist. He was a first team all sky, second team all state, and now he's up going to give Sheldon a huge boost. You know, he's 6'6", contributes inside. He's going to be a rising senior, and so give them some outstanding leadership at that school to help them get back.
Yeah, it's crazy because in Oregon, we put a lot of focus on the Portland and surrounding areas, but there's a lot of athletic and talented kids that aren't from this area. And so I actually saw Kyle Holmes and the Lucas LeBounty kid for the first time 2 days ago at Portland State, one of their power hours. And the talented kids, Duncan, can shoot. So there's a lot of kids always get on me about the Prep Hoops rankings, and there's so many kids that they've never heard of that are better than them, that I don't even know they're better than them, and that they don't know they're better than them because they don't see them because they're not in Portland. And so there's just a lot of talented kids, and sometimes, you know, kids grow 6'7", you know, the kids grow from being 5'8" to 6'6", you know, things like that. So people, that's why I would coach middle school, because I don't like to get caught up in the middle school phenom stuff, because a lot of the best middle schoolers usually don't end up being the best high schoolers. Usually those guys just hit puberty early. So yeah, there's a lot of talented kids in Oregon, man. And Kai Holmes and Lucas LeBounty are definitely some kids that could play at any level, for any league, for any school.
Oh, absolutely. So coach, what's your perspective on Oregon high school basketball and where it's headed in the next 3 to 5 years?
You know, I think we're headed in an amazing direction. Like
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
When you look at the state, I like looking, you know, top down, right? You look at University of Oregon, Oregon State, Portland, and then you look at, you know, even Western Oregon, they have a new coach, Ryan Norton's a great guy. I think the universities are doing the right thing, which gives these kids like a look like, hey, this is what I want to do. And that's what I see with some of these freshmen and sophomores. I see so much talent. I mean, I am so excited to coach Riggy. Like, Riggy's amazing, you know, and I think he's one of the best, you know, going to be juniors in the state. But then I go watch him play in the summer with all of his teammates, and I go, what year's that guy? I mean, and they're all, you know, going to be sophomores, going to be juniors. And so I think it's headed in an amazing direction. I just think there's so much talent. I think there's so much good coaching. I think summer basketball has an amazing place in the state, and I think the universities are doing an amazing job of recruiting the top talent, trying to keep it home, and, you know, just showing the kids that if you work your tail off and you're ready to go, that there's a place for you at the next level. And that's what I've always preached, you know, to kids. And I'm selfish. I wish all the top kids would stay and go to UVO and Oregon State and Portland State and Portland and even Western Oregon, because the GNAC is amazing. But that's me being selfish. I'd love to watch these kids for the next 6 to 8 years instead of just the next 2 to 3. But so much talent. I've been blessed with my 3 sons who kind of grew up in the AAU club scene, and now 2 of them don't play. But, I mean, they played with Ratcliffe at Wilsonville. They played with Isaac, who was a Jesuit and now going to Central, you know, played with Isaac Carr, played with all these kids. So I've watched them for like the last 5 and 6 years, and just knowing how good they're going to be. But I really just want to give a shout out to how hard they've worked and how hard the coaches have worked to really, both sides, high school and club and AAU, because it just can't be done by one person. I mean, we just don't have the bandwidth to be at all for these kids. And so having 2 or 3 voices that are working together to try and make these kids the best they can be is what has to be. And I see that really good synergy in the state of Oregon right now.
Yeah, I know it's definitely starting to come together a little bit in Portland. Portland State's done a really good job of getting a lot of kids to their camps. They've offered a lot of kids lately and trying to get them there. Western Oregon is doing a really good job as a D2 program, the new coach over there, in reaching out to the kids You know, we know Oregon, if we have super talented kids, they've done a good job of recruiting kids from the state and keeping them there. So those three programs are doing a really good job in the state.
That's a question I was going to ask you, because sometimes when you meet coaches that have been around, you know, with the experience you have, sometimes they have mixed reviews on AU basketball. So what role do you think AU basketball should play in a development or on a yearly basis with high school kids?
So, you know, when you coach, and I think I've had the luxury of coaching in college and getting to go out and recruit the kids I want to bring in, right, to my program. And in high school, you really don't have that luxury. Well, everywhere, but you don't have that luxury. You know, you go. And so you as a high school coach have to look at 12 to 15 individuals and go, what's going to be the best for this team? And that is you working as a team and then looking at each individual, go, how can I make you better? And in high school, sometimes you have a lot of kids that maybe don't want to go on to play at the next level. So then you bring in the club and the AAU scene, which is by coaches that want to help kids really get to the next level. They have a little bit more time to spend with them because of the rules, and they can bring in 10 to 12 kids that they want to mesh that really want to play at the next level. So that's always been my take. I mean, I've had one of the biggest clubs in the state of Nevada. I've coached college basketball, coached high school basketball. There's a place for it all. High school is, you're playing for your school. There's going to be a majority of the kids that don't want to and are not going to move on. And then you have the club scene, which a lot of times coaches have played in college, know what they're doing, and they get to bring a collection of kids together that really want to go to the next level. And so that to me is the greatness of it, right? Like, my high school kids get to come play with me. We work really hard. We play our system. But the ones that want to move on and play with the top kids on a daily basis in the summer, that's where club and AU, what you guys have done such a good job at, right? Like, and that's fun, you know, and that gets them ready for college. Because when you get to college, as you know, it's 10, 12 guys going at it every day. And that is a fun environment, you know, and just not a lot of kids at the high school level want that, which is great. But the select few that really want that, they get it in the summer, and then they get it and they're ready for college.
So as a coach that is, you know, ran a huge AAU program, coach college and high school, what advice would you give a young coach trying to build a program? Like, how would you tell them to start and building?
One, take 4 or 5 coaches that you really like. And this can be any level, right? Like, there's been some amazing NAIA coaches. There's been some amazing Division III coaches, been some amazing Division I coaches. But take 4 or 5 coaches that you really like, study what they do, and never be afraid to keep learning, because you have to piece it all together, right? You have to piece together player development. You have to piece together meetings. You have to piece together individual attention with players. And then you have the team chemistry and you have your coaches. So you study 4 or 5 of the coaches that you really like and take pieces of what they do well. Like, how do they interact with their coaches on staff, their assistants and stuff? What do they give them to do? How do they interact with their best player? How do they interact with the guy that's the last on the bench? Because we've all been there, you know. And then X's and O's, what is your style? What do you believe in? Believe it, learn it, teach it, grow it. And that's what I always tell young kids. But you got to believe it first. And then you got to be able to keep learning. Then you got to be able to teach it. And then you got to be able to grow with it. And that's what I ask for my players too. So that's really where my coaching stems from. But that's what I would tell them. Get 4 or 5 coaches you want to study, see what they do well, and then make it your own.
Who are the 4 or 5 coaches that you study?
Well, I was always a Bob Knight disciple. I absolutely loved him, but I thought he did a really good job offensively. Kelvin Sampson is maybe my favorite defensive coach, I mean, on the planet. I mean, that guy, I mean, he can get kids to run through brick walls that are like crazy. And then I was lucky enough to go back to Duke to go to camp when Coach K was just starting out. And the guy that was doing all the point guard stuff was Quinn Snyder. And Quinn's from the Northwest, and you know, now he's the coach for the Hawks, I believe. But when he was a college coach, I really studied a lot, you know, what he did, and I really like him. And then I grew up in Las Vegas, and so we went to church with the Tarkanians and stuff, and I studied Jerry Tarkanian and his whole staff and what they did defensively. But that was, so to me, it was really, you know, Bob Knight and Tarkanian were kind of like where, and then Kelvin Sampson, I just think, takes it out of the water with defense.
Nice, nice. Those are definitely guys that are legendary coaches in the history of the basketball.
What do you enjoy most about coaching 5A versus, you know, if you had a chance, I'm sure you've had the opportunity to go coach 6A at some point in time. But what made you want to stay at 5A and stay at LaSalle?
You know, one, yeah, it was funny. I think I told you before, I never meant to coach high school basketball. I really loved the college game. And then just when Concordia closed, LaSalle called and they were making a coaching change and asked me to apply. And I just loved the school and I loved the environment. And so I think that is what I love about 5A and particularly LaSalle. It's not that I couldn't have that at 6A, but I like where I'm at. I like what it stands for and I like who I can be there, at the 5A level. But I still think there is really good athletes that want to succeed. And I think there's kids that want to be more than athletes. I really love being at LaSalle because academics is such a huge, huge part of their life and leadership in multiple sports and just getting involved in everything. So, I mean, it's not that it couldn't happen at 6A, but that's what I love about LaSalle 5A.
So one last question for you, before we let you get out of here. One thing I like to know, you've been coaching LaSalle for going on your sixth season. But in your six seasons, give me your top five players that have ever played at LaSalle for you.
Whew, man, I've been really blessed. I mean, Mick Boyd was absolutely incredible my first year. Like I was extremely lucky. Riggy really reminds me a lot of Mick Boyd. And then Nick Robertson was just an amazing scorer. The guy could flat out put the ball in the basket and it was uncanny. And then Finbar O'Brien, who Finbar is the number one pitcher for Gonzaga right now. Well, he was our number two scorer when we won the league the first time. And Finbar is 6'3", incredibly athletic. And he was just so much fun, you know, to coach. And then just because I'm kind of biased, I'd have to say my son. I really enjoyed working out with my son. He's going away. He's going to play in Spokane. And so he leaves this weekend. But it's been amazing the last 4 years. And then obviously Riggy. I mean, Rigdon Kuyunga is going to be a special kid. He's fast. He's quick. He can shoot it. He can pass it. There's not a lot he can't do, and I'm excited to see where he takes his game. But yeah, those would be the five. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for the next 2 years to see what this kid can do.
It should be a lot of fun, man. Riggy's probably one of the most exciting players in 5A to watch. His change of speed and his layup package is fun. He's one of the few kids that you probably go pay to see at the high school level. Yeah. You want to go see someone play basketball. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time for coming up, giving us a look behind the curtain of what it takes to be a 5A champion. Good luck again this season. We know it's going to be a tough road, but I think you're built for the job. So we appreciate your time.
Definitely appreciate it. When you see Riggy, ask him where do you get his new nickname Deuce from. You'll love that story.
A little bit behind the scenes. So, but Coach, we appreciate you coming on Buckets in the 503.
Thank you so much, guys.